All right, Jeff.
What do we got?
4:30 Central Daylight Time. Tampa, Florida. The South Florida Bulls will be catching 6 points. This line originally opened at Boise minus 9.5. There are some shops where it's all the way down to 5.5. Jeff, I feel like this is the trap, but I'm going to spring it. Give me South Florida plus the 6.
Why?
It's West Coast kids going to humidity.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
West Coast kids going to humidity. And I can buy that. I can buy that. And
I
if
also
you're a,
think
if you're a Memphis fan, this is what you want to see.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned that Alex Golish is the coach that answers a lot of media people's text messages and phone calls. And I am a little concerned that South Florida is a little overhyped. With that said, though, give me the points. Give me a West Coast team going to have to deal with real elements.
All right. South Florida plus 6 over Boise. By the way, just to set the stage again, Jeffrey is 1-1 on the year, started with a modest slate last week, and both teams involving Kansas. He won the Kansas game. He lost the K-State game. And so the investment portfolio is doing fine, but hasn't rocketed up yet. But I wouldn't expect that after that very slow first week. All right, South Florida plus 6 over Boise. Next, Jeffrey.
All right, Jeff, let's keep it chronological. 6:30, somewhere on one of the ESPN family of networks, we will have the Missouri Tigers hosting, I don't remember, what is Central Arkansas? Are they the Bears? Are they the Grizzlies? It's mainly, I'm taking Drinkwitz laying a big number against an inferior team. I'll lay 37.5.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. It's Central Arkansas. Arkansas mascot is, I'm double checking here just to make sure who's going to lose by more than 37.5. Bruce DeBear. Bruce D. Bear.
But are they the Bears?
You don't think they would be the Bears? You think they would be something else?
I don't know if they're the Grizzlies. You know what I mean? I don't know if they are a specific Bear.
Okay, well, hold on. Well, we'll call it a nickname. Nickname. Sarcos, Florida, nickname. Is that where Norvell played?
Yes. With his, remember he had the cornrows.
Uses the Bears as a mascot.
Okay,
yes.
All right,
exactly,
look at me.
Right. Yeah. Did you know that, that the state of Arkansas, in addition to being the natural state, was once known as the Bear State?
I did not know that, Jeff. Let me hit your jingle for you.
Okay. So we got Missouri minus 37.5 over Central Arkansas. Is that it?
Indeed.
All right,
Jeff. Let's also at 6:30 tonight, my mother's alma mater, the University of Tennessee at Martin, travels to Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Oh, my God. How can you wager on these? Yes, go ahead.
This is a classic. I think everybody thinks Mike Gundy's dead. He likes his new quarterback. I'm going to lay 22. Lay 22 with the Pokes.
Oklahoma State minus 22 over UT Martin.
Yep.
Your mother's alma mater.
Yes.
Is that it? Is that it for tonight?
Oh, Jeff, come on.
You the other a moment ago you had nothing.
I also cooked up a parlay. Hang in there.
Okay.
I don't know why. I want some points with Miami. Miami of Ohio goes to Wisconsin. I think it gets a little uncomfortable. Give me Miami plus 17.5 at Wisconsin.
Miami of Ohio plus 17.5 over Wisconsin. All right.
I have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 team parlay. You ready?
Oh, my God. Okay. Do we do this? Is this official?
Jeff, it's my rules.
Okay.
You don't tell me how to invest the money. You give me the money.
No, that's true. I just trust.
All right.
Go ahead.
We have a money line parlay with the following five teams. So for the record, we just need all of these teams to win, and we will get plus 135. So our $100 becomes $135. We will start with okay, Rutgers.
Yeah.
Rutgers hosting Ohio. Give me Rutgers. I am not falling for the East Carolina is going to be cute. Give me NC State. Scott Frost's return to Orlando, his return to the bounce house. We're putting UCF against Jacksonville State in our money line parlay. This is where it gets scary.
Yeah.
Wyoming is going all the way across the country to play Akron. Why? I have no idea. Akron is not even eligible to play in a bowl game. Not that that would matter one way or the other. Give me Wyoming. And finally, give me Minnesota tonight hosting Buffalo. Those five teams, that's our money line parlay. $1 pays plus 135.
I have a question with this. If you were to substitute, like, let's say, you know, I like the first four, but I think UB is going to beat Minnesota. Good chance of beating Minnesota. Could you just find another game tonight and substitute it? Is that how it works?
Jeff, we don't tell.
I'm just asking. I'm wondering how. I'm asking a betting type of question, a procedure question. I'm not suggesting you.
Correct.
Do that.
It is the smallest. It's the smallest line though that I'm seeing. Like, I think it's a smaller line than even.
So it would change. It would change
the odds.
Yeah, change the answer.
Okay. That's why I'm including them. I just don't know
Jeffrey went crazy, ladies and gentlemen. So here we go. South Florida plus 6 over Boise. Missouri minus 37.5 over Central Arkansas. Oklahoma State minus 22 over UT Martin. Miami of Ohio plus 17.5 over Wisconsin. And then a 5-team parlay. All these teams just have to win for Jeffrey to cash. Really, for me to cash. Rutgers over Ohio, NC State over East Carolina, UCF over Jacksonville State, Wyoming over Akron, and Minnesota over the University of Buffalo. So there you go. All right, Jeffrey. Just to wrap up with college football before we move on to other things, before we move on to Chris Arrington and trivia, I sent you some audio. Now, mind you, it was on the fly. Do you have this audio?
I do indeed, Jeff.
Okay, so because Deion Sanders has said two things recently that I wanted to make note of. This particular question, he was asked, what tradition, what aspect at Folsom Field, what looking around the grandeur of the place where Ralphie the Buffalo used to roam,
will once again one day roam.
What struck him? What moved him? What was different about football games at Colorado? And here was the answer.
Is there anything about Folsom, about this stadium, that surprised you, that you didn't expect?
Yeah. The smell of weed in the second quarter surprised the heck out of me. Like, every game, I'm like, dang. Like, it seems like it's like a light-up quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, so is this the quarter that y'all chose? Like, I'm serious. It's a TV timeout. It never fails. And I'm like, wow. What's going on? Because you know, I've never been high a day in my life, so that's kind of new to me.
That's a bolder essential, I guess.
Yeah, truly.
Is there any?
So there you go.
That
I have
really
to say,
threw the reporter off. She had no idea what to do with that.
That was it. And I like, there are those who are critical of Deion, and I've at various times whatever.
Deion is good for the sport.
And that's a genius answer because you it's just not cliche. It's not, you know, it's literally, it's real. You know, it is the real answer. What surprised him?
My follow-up would have been, really? Like, are you familiar with Boulder?
Yeah. But
that's where every drug kid I knew wanted to go to Colorado. I wonder why.
How often do you smell weed in your real life going through the world?
I mean, now?
Yeah, now.
You can't go on this roads without smelling it.
So you think you smell, I don't smell weed every day. You smell weed every day?
Close to it. I also live pretty close to the university.
okay, let me ask you this. SEC stadiums. Like, I don't ever recall smelling weed. I'm sure, I mean, whatever. Like, weed is not even controversial anymore, right? So it's like, whatever. It's,
I mean,
like,
it is fair to note Colorado was like one of the first states that legalized it. So, like, but I mean, I don't even know how many states is it legal in the SEC?
But anyway, I was going to go back. First, I'm going to start at the University of Memphis. I can never recall. And when I go to Memphis games, and that's been, you know, 30 years now, I like to walk through the tailgating areas, now Tiger Lane, and just sort of, and I can't recall ever smelling weed at a Memphis game.
Historically, the South has been more boozy than weed.
Very clearly more boozy than weed. And so is there an SEC stadium where you would be more or less likely to smell weed? I don't think I've ever smelled weed at it. I mean, I haven't been to all of them. And I used to travel more. So I would go to,
The obvious answer for me would be Texas because, you know, keep Austin weird. I've covered
That's
one game.
Probably right.
I've Vandy? Covered one game there. Maybe.
I mean, you got all those journalism students at Mizzou.
Yeah, Mizzou's methy.
It's methy.
Yeah.
Mizzou is methy.
Yeah.
All right. So then the other piece of audio that I wanted to play, from Dion that I wanted to discuss was Dion and Nick Saban were doing they were sitting down for an interview in connection with Aflac because they're just whatever. They're trying to.
It's that season.
It's that time. They both get money for promoting Aflac. And so they bring people together to ask football questions. And then they, by the way, they tell them how great Aflac is. And in the course of this, they were talking about NIL and revenue sharing and that whole universe. And Dion suggested that there should be, just like in the NFL, a bonus for making the playoff individually paid to players and a bonus for, you know, I don't know whether it's winning each round, certainly for winning a championship. And by the way those things are paid is it doesn't matter if you're Josh Allen or if you're the third string guard, you get your Super Bowl share, right? If you go to the Super Bowl. And that was the point he was making. We need, now that we're just spread money around, you need to reward people for winning. And one way to do it is to pay folks who go to the playoff and folks who then advance certainly to the championship game. Your thoughts?
So I don't hate the idea. I'm also curious, how are they going to pay out? Like, because right now, correct me if I'm wrong, the way the structure works is the revenue generated from the playoff just goes to the conferences. And then the conferences distribute it to the schools, and then the schools are going to distribute revenue based on that, right?
That seems right.
It seems to me that I think at some point there's going to be, don't you think at some point someone's going to sue and they're going to have to pay revenue directly from the playoff to the players?
I don't know whether there's a legal basis for that or not. It's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. Would it? Well, and then the other, you know, related question. And I think teams in the way that they structure their own payments, can structure their own payments however they want, right? Like you can incentivize your players to stick around and play in bowl games, for example.
Yes.
By part of your revenue sharing agreement with them is, and if you play in a bowl game, you get, you know, 10 grand or something like that. You can
well,
do
the,
that.
Well, the way most schools have been doing it is to continue to receive your payments, you must play in bowl games.
You must play in the bowl games.
Yeah.
But you can also, like, you can structure this stuff. The problem is, there was a coach that I was reading that was doing a lot of bonus stuff, incentive bonus stuff, right? Built into the
was it Belichick?
I don't know if it was Belichick, but maybe it was. Might have been. And the problem there is, of course, is that as you're recruiting, if one school is offering you the money guaranteed up front, and the other school is offering it, yeah, come here and you can make up to maybe it is even more money, you know, with if you hit these bonuses and if we hit these team bonuses and you do whatever, it I actually think it might hurt recruiting. Don't you think? Like if you're structuring your payments as bonuses to be earned rather than as money you will get, I would think that it would be harder to get players on the front end.
I think you're right. It's also why I think those types of contracts that you're talking about, I don't think it's going to be like that's going to be more to like keep your players. I think that's less of a recruiting tactic. I think that's more of a retention thing.
Huh. All right. We got Chris Harrington and then we got Right and Right Trivia. So a couple other things I did want to get to. One is we talked about this yesterday, Rashee Rice as our show was ending, we had a Schefter report that the NFL
was seeking
yes. a six game suspension.
Turns out that they're good at hide and seek.
It turns out, seek and you shall find.
Yeah.
Rashee Rice suspended for six games. You had your fantasy draft last night. Did Rashee Rice go and how late was it?
So we do an auction style draft. So we don't do the
snake. Right. Right.
So he went pretty early because I think somebody was hoping that people didn't pay attention to the news and that it could get bid up. With a $200 salary pool, I think he went for $15.
And is that a lot or a little? A little. Jamar Chase? What would Jamar Chase go for?
I believe
$200 salary pool?
I believe Jamar went for 80 something. Let me double check. Jamar, because he went early as well. Jamar went for 81.
Who was the most expensive player on the board?
I believe Saquon.
And do you expect Saquon to have the step back like everybody does? Because no one does this 2 years in a row.
I don't know why he would. Like what's
he would just because if you look at the last.
I mean,
whatever.
Do I think he's going to run for 2,000 yards again? I guess you're better off betting no. But what has systematically changed about the Eagles? I mean, what no Mekhi Becton? Is that going to?
No. It's purely wear and tear. The history of running backs who have big years, the next year is not as big. That's all. It's that. It's not. Did you buy Saquon?
No, only because he was ridiculously expensive. He went for $86.
All right. I saw something about the NFL right now, Jeffrey. If you had to pick rookie of the year in the NFL, would it be Cam Ward?
All right, who would our other candidates be that are going to
get
like numbers?
Here would be the other candidates. And I actually think the question is, would it be Cam Ward or the field? And I would take the field. Here are some other candidates. Trevion Henderson.
Okay.
He's looked great. Yep. He's looked great in New England.
I'm still convinced that
Amika Egbuke is going to get – has looked great in Tampa.
A lot of touches.
And the receivers are injured. He's going to – I'm very confident in his production. Like if Cam Ward isn't really good, that's who I would pick as rookie of the year. Matthew Golden has looked in limited action in Green Bay, has looked good. Ashton Jeanty is obviously going to, you know.
I think I'd go Jeanty. I want to be clear. I think Cam's good. And I've actually been very impressed with what I'm seeing. I just don't think Brian Callahan's a good coach. And I think that they're dead men walking. I think the Raiders are going to be sneaky competent, and I think Jeanty's just going to get fed.
Jackson Dart, possible if he
not
gets
gonna
in
play
early.
Enough games.
Yeah, a sneaky running back pick, R.J. Harvey,
yeah.
of Denver.
They are very high on him.
Really love him, and then there's two tight ends this year. They aren't typically has a tight end ever won. Maybe I guess
Brock, right?
He won. Yeah, has ever won? Yeah, just Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren, both doing really well, both in offenses that are going to be relied on.
So, with I would like Colston more. Daniel doesn't really throw to the tight end very often.
And
now,
finally,
granted, oftentimes the Giants tight end sucks, so maybe that's related. But I do think Tyler Warren's a good player.
And then finally, we had a story from Parthapadhyay in the Daily Memphian today that I found to be a little discouraging, Jeffrey. And it was looking at Bartovic, rankings.
Bartovic, yeah.
And I think that we have learned, it was 2 years ago when everyone's like, look at the Tigers, look at the Tigers. And Bart Torvik was like, yeah, don't. I mean, it was just a computer, so it wasn't, he wasn't. But I do think there is some respect for his rankings.
Yes, I would totally agree.
Number 73 in the country, 8 slots behind USF at 65, 85th in the country in offensive efficiency, 63rd in the country in defensive efficiency. Does that seem discouraging to you?
I mean, that's probably the lowest that Penny's had to start a season, right? I mean, other than his first year, I would bet that's one of the lower, like the lowest.
It just feels like this year is a lot of raw material, you know? Doesn't it?
We still don't even know, like, legally what's happening.
Legally, who's going to be eligible?
You're right. Well, I mean, no. I'm.
Our
McNeese case. Kid. Why am I blanking on his name?
I find it to be. I mean, it's funny. Penny was talking about this the other day.
Sincere Parker.
He was talking about this the other day, and he said, "I have a lot to work with." And it sounded, I just read, and maybe because I had the roster in mind, it just sounded like a lot of clay. You know, there's a lot of clay here. There's not a lot of finished. I mean, obviously, there's some guys who've.
Well, this also is a man that historically has not done, like, that has not exactly done his best work when he has a lot of options.